Well, I am John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast, and I am here with a special guest today. I have Jenny Weaver here in just a moment. I want to be able to share the story that she has been able to really share online recently, something amazing that has happened with her family, and we're going to dive into that in just a moment.
All around the world, poverty is stealing choices from kids. It's time to give those choices back. Introducing Chosen, World Vision's new invitation to sponsorship. For the first time, kids have the power to choose their own sponsors. Now the choice is theirs. The choice to take hold of their future, and even the choice to step into a life-changing relationship with you. Learn more at worldvision.org/chosen.
We're back here with Jenny Weaver, and I just want to introduce Jenny right now. She is a worship leader at Nations Church. She is an author, a speaker, a prophetic minister, and just an amazing, amazing woman of God. And I go to the same church as Jenny here in Orlando, and it is awesome to be able to worship together and just to see what God is doing. And a couple weeks ago, Jenny shared a prayer request, an urgent prayer request about her brother. And I want to ask Jenny to share that story because it is an amazing thing to see how God has moved. So Jenny, welcome to the Charisma News Podcast.
Thank you, John, for having me. This is amazing. I'm so excited to be here with you. And I get to go to church with you. We get to worship every single week and we're in the choir together. So that is so amazing. And I cannot wait to really share this story. This is actually one of the first times that I'm able to really sit down in hindsight and tell it from this side.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, you've been sharing updates throughout this process, and it's been incredible just to see how God has rescued your family. And there's times where it's looked really, really bad, but God is so good. Can you tell us what happened and who this involves and just kind of take us back to the beginning?
Sure. I will do my best to give as many details as I can without, you know, saying too much because my brother, I want him to be able to tell it too. But it was about 2 weeks ago on a Thursday evening. I was on the middle of a Facebook Live. And so I kept hearing my phone, you know, give me messages and messages. And I'm like, who in the world is messaging me? Anyway, I get off the live and I go to my messenger and it is my brother. I'm one of seven children. And so I'm the second oldest and Michael is, it's my older sister, me, my little sister, and then Michael, and then all the rest of the boys. And so my brother said, I'm about to die. I don't know what to do. That was the message that I got. The next message was, please help me. And I just want to get another chance to be with my daughters. And so that's what I saw. And so, of course, I said, what's going on? Where are you? What's happening? And no response. He'd also sent these messages in our family chat asking for our family to please come help him, that people were trying to kill him and he was going to die.
Oh, wow.
And so we knew that he was here just coming down for Father's Day here in this Lakeland area. And he does not live here. So he was visiting his children and he never made it. He has diabetes, type 1 diabetes. When his sugar gets very low, there could be extreme confusion. He's been hospitalized several times and we've almost lost him many times. And so during this whole thing that was going on, there was an incident. And, you know, his life was in jeopardy and he takes off on foot to get away from, you know, the situation. And he runs into a wooded area. And when he runs into the wooded area, he did have his phone, but he had an altercation with some people that were actually coming against him. Oh, wow. And they beat him up. They hurt him. They took his phone, took his shoes, and just left him there. And so my brother's, at this point, his sugar was at a critical place. And so he just starts to walk through these woods, trying to get away, kind of trying to hide, making sure that these people didn't come back for him. And all the while the sugar is low. I mean, it's really, really bad. And he gets himself up on a train car. So there was a train track there, and there's a train that was just sitting. He gets himself up on the train car, and my brother actually passes out. He just completely passes out. And in this time, he was coming out, in and out. This is what he's telling me. He's coming in and out of it. And when he came out of it, there was a homeless person, like an older man, walking by with a drink. And my brother said, "Hey, please, can I have some of this drink?" Because he knew it had sugar in it and he needed it. And so he gets the sugar. And it was enough to really, honestly, it was just the right amount. So he didn't die. And the train starts to take off. He passed out again. The train takes off and he ends up in Jacksonville. And when he wakes up, the people actually wake him up. They're trying to pull him out. The train station guy, and as well as some police, they had called the security. So they were trying to wake him up. And when they got to him, they realized he's in a critical state. And the ambulance came and they picked him up and they rushed him to the hospital. My brother was out for so long. By the way, this is a timeline of 2 days at this point. He was gone missing. We went missing for 4 days. And so they brought him to the hospital where he had chronic kidney failure. The sugar had gotten into his kidneys, chronic kidney failure. He had all kinds of things happening to his body, and they were able to revive him, to restore him, and really bring him back. All the while, I'll tell this other side of it. My family is on the look. And so I posted, "Pray for my brother, he's missing," when a whole day had gone by and we had not heard from him. And it's not like him to be in another place, another city that he doesn't know, nowhere to go. He's visiting his daughters. It's almost Father's Day. And we hear nothing from him. And we heard that he was, you know, he's saying, "I'm about to die." And so I put that out there and people began to pray. And the next day, actually, that day, me and my husband, we went and started looking ourselves. Just me and my husband said, "Let's just go down there and let's just start looking through the streets and see, maybe he's around. Maybe he needs a ride." We don't know what we were going to find. And we just were looking and looking and we didn't find him. And we went to a wooded area and we were looking. I have video footage of me looking. Right. I got in the car and my husband was just crying so bad. John, it was so, such a deep hurt in us, where my brother's little, he's like 100 pounds. And with this type 1 diabetes, we thought this is not the neighborhood. It was in one of the worst neighborhoods that you could go to. We watch people come out with guns. We watch drug deals happen on the streets right in front of us as we're going into dangerous places saying, "Have you seen my brother?" When we were walking up to these places, we were thinking they could easily take our lives like that. We've seen stuff now. We're in this area. I mean, it was so bad. Nobody saw him. We went home. We woke up the next day. We called hospitals. We looked, and we ended up getting a search party of 50 people on the third day. Around 50 people came from all over, mainly from Nations Church. Daniel Kalenda had asked for this search party, and the people came. Mm-hmm. And we passed out flyers. We looked everywhere. You could hear my brother's name being yelled out from the streets. People were saying, "Michael, Michael." And we prayed and we just commanded death to let him go. We commanded every demon to loose its hold on my brother. And we went home on that third day. And I'll tell you, from my own personal journey with this, on day three, I was really weary. I mean, I sat in that bed and I cried so hard. I said, "He's not had his insulin in 3 days. He's not gone a day without it since he was 12 years old." And so it looked bad. None of the hospitals had seen him. And so we'd hired a private investigator. We were about to hire a dog search team to come out and search the woods for my brother. And I get a call on the fourth day from my mother. And my mother says, "Jenny, stay calm." And of course, in a moment like this, you're going, "Okay, is this the bad news or is this the good news?" And she says, "It's good news. Michael just called me. He's in a hospital in Jacksonville. He's been found." And I tell you, I screamed I couldn't even have the conversation. I didn't even know how to hold the phone at that moment. I was shaking. My whole family was there. What's going on? What's going on? We found him. And, but yeah, we ended up getting him. He's actually here with me now. Mm-hmm. He's in our home. He had a recovery time of hospitalization and all of that stuff. And then after about a week or so, he got out and he wanted to come to church with us. And he came to church last Sunday, and Daniel Kalinda prayed with him and laid hands on him and prayed for the diabetes. And my brother received Jesus into his heart. He surrendered his life. And since that time, my brother and I have been sitting out there in that kitchen every day, reading the Bible, worshiping God together. He's just so excited about this new life that God has for him. And it's just so much hope has arisen in our family.
Amen. Amen. I love that I've been able to see kind of the progression of this story and the different posts that you're putting out there, that you were putting out there, and just seeing like there is a God who hears our prayer. And he answers. And that is so amazing to be able to see the picture that you posted this last Sunday of your brother dedicating his life to the Lord, and to see just some of the things that you've been sharing recently, and that to know that he's been reading the Bible with you. I mean, yeah. God can truly change somebody's life totally yeah. around. And I remember you telling me earlier that you actually had people calling you that were receiving dreams or words from the Lord about where to look. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, some of it was good and some of it was not good. And so that's right. A lesson that I learned from that is that some people are not hearing from the Lord and some people were. And there was a prophet on the first day that me and my husband went out to Lakeland. While we were driving around, I got a text message, and a prophet, his name is Jacob Biswell. He said, I was praying for your brother. I saw your brother in the wooded area, and he was kind of leaning up against a tree. And he basically said, I didn't want to alarm you, but he needs medical attention right away. This was the actual day that that was actually happening. Wow. And we didn't know to go in which woods they were, you know, where that he was by the railroad track. Because even though we drove by it many times, we didn't know to go in there. And this prophet gave us that word. And not only did he release the word, but he says, and so I speak to the spirit of death, and I command the spirit of death to be rolled back off of his life. And so when I read that, I got chills, even though I didn't want to hear that. That was the case. I thought maybe he just found some friends and he's just doing his thing. I didn't want to hear that he needed medical attention and we couldn't get to him. But we began to pray in the car, and we began to just say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, send your angels to him, save his life, protect him. And I believe that the word of God says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And when the righteous begin to pray and we begin to stand firm on the word, I believe that spirit of death had to be pushed back off of his life. And that is the reason why he's alive today. God saved him and rescued him.
Amen. Amen. And Jenny, can you take me to that phone call again where your mother called you and said, this is calm down, or I forget exactly what you said, but what was going on in your mind at that time? And how, like, when you heard that, how was the relief that you felt?
Well, when you get a call from your mother, every call, your heart starts racing. Every text message. I even put out a post like, guys, if it's not super important, please don't text me, because we're always thinking when we hear that ding, maybe that's him. Maybe someone found him. Maybe it's good news. Maybe it's bad news. You know, we didn't know. And so when she said, I could tell in her voice something was different. And she said, Jenny, stay calm. And I was like, what? What happened? That was my response to her, because I'm like, I cannot take any more. This has been the worst 4 days, I think, of my life. And I've actually been on the streets, and this was worse than that. And she said, it's good news. I just talked to Michael. And I was just like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. I mean, I was shouting. Everybody in the house knew without really even hearing the update that he had been found. My husband was standing there and he was really emotional. My friend Victoria was here, my daughter. And She said, I just talked to him. He's in the hospital. He had no phone. He had no, he didn't remember any numbers. Of course, we don't remember numbers nowadays. And he ended up, she said, he ended up going into it, calling his voicemail. And he thought, if I could get to the voicemail and remember the code, I'll be able to hear a number. And he said the first number that he heard was my mother's number. She left, you know, it says you received a call from and left the number. And so he called that and let he notified my mother, I'm fine, I'm in the hospital. And he shared what happened. And in his words, he said, this is something that has really changed me. This is a wake up call. This is what I needed. I'll never be the same after this.
So in those, now that you're having Bible studies with your brother, what is going on in that? What can you share from those?
You know, it's really amazing. Just having my brother reading the word, when I get up, he's already sitting down. I get up early. He's already sitting at the little place in our breakfast nook where we read the Bible. He has his Bible. We gifted him a men's study Bible. I have mine. He's already out there reading, and he'll say, you know, the Lord showed me this today, or I opened the Bible, and he's basically opening the Bible, because this is what my mother told us when we were young. If you open up, the Lord will speak to you. So he's doing that. And God has really been using the word to speak to him and to restore who he is. Listening to worship music. He loves worship music. He raps. He's really into music. And so right now he's listening to music, worship music. As we're doing this interview, he's listening to Never Would Have Made It Through, Never Would Have Made It Without You. So just getting to see that and him asking questions about the word, asking me questions like, what does that mean? What does this mean? And it's just like a fresh new beginning. And to see somebody so excited about the Lord, you know, when you first get saved, you get excited. To see that has been really refreshing for myself, my husband, Cameron, my daughter, just everybody just looking at his life. And it's an amazing, incredible journey.
Amen. Amen. Jenny, I don't want to miss this opportunity. You know, there's so many people that are listening or watching right now that they have a family member that is far from the Lord, or maybe they're missing too, you know, and could you just pray for people right now that are going through they don't know where a family member is. They don't know whether they're with the Lord or, you know, just physically missing, whatever that might be. You're now from a place where you're able to speak from a place where God has brought you through something. And can you pray to help other people come through that same type of situation?
Absolutely. Just stretch your hands towards the camera if you are believing for a family member. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that your word remains true. No matter what we walk through, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how it looks on the outside, God, we know that your word says that you'll work all things out for our good because you love us. So I just decree and declare that families are being restored right now, where there has been offense and unforgiveness, where there has been drug addiction, where there has been sin, where there has just been the enemy coming in to wreak havoc on families. In the name of Jesus, we say, break right now. We command every devil to go, and we loose the power of the risen Savior. We thank you, Holy Ghost, that you would convict hearts right now, that you would call them back home, that you would draw them back in Jesus' mighty name, God. Heal, set free, and deliver by your Spirit this day. We thank you, God, that hope is arising. Faith is arising where it looks hopeless, where you have started to get weary. I prophesy to you today, strength is coming to you. Mama, you can wipe those tears away. Father, you can wipe those tears away. In the name of Jesus, we say, prodigals, come home this day in Jesus' mighty name. And God, we thank you that when they get home, Father, that you would give us a loving heart, a gentle and kind spirit, a forgiving spirit, God, that we would know what to say and what to do to continue their journey in the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jenny. Jenny, how can people find out more about you?
Okay, probably social media, my favorite. I am on all social media outlets or platforms. Just go to Jenny Weaver Worships. That's in YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. And then my website is jennyweaverworships.com, where you can get involved with all my classes, my shop, you know, the whole thing's there. So yeah, that's how you can do it.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for sharing this story with our audience here. And I just appreciate just how God is using you at Nations Church and everything that God is doing with you. And just to see where God is taking your brother and just to be able to share that story. Thank you so much, Jenny.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, everybody.
I'm John Matarazzo. Join me on my Along the Way podcast. You'll hear interviews with people who are actively walking with Christ so that we can learn from others' journeys along their way. You can find my Along the Way podcast as well as many more Spirit-filled podcasts on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News podcast, One Story, Well Told. For more stories, visit us online at charismanews.com. Subscribe to this podcast for more Charisma News every weekday. This is John Matarazzo. God bless you.